everyone, and welcome to the Read Right to Left podcast. I am G, joined by my always wonderful co-host, Ray from Whimsical Pictures.
Hi, guys.
And this month, March, we are doing a platform spotlight. We're going to be talking about one of the many manga reading platforms, legal manga reading platforms. There are Manga Plaza, one that I think not necessarily a lot of people are familiar with. It's one that's a little bit more niche compared to, you know, the Viz app and Shonen Jump yep. apps and even the Azukis of this world.
Yep. And I just suggested this one specifically because there's one series that I happen to like from the platform, and that was all that I knew about it, because that series got recommended to me, so.
Yes, indeed. So this was an adventure, I think, for both of us. We've read a variety of series. There's a lot on this platform, I will say up front. There's a lot that is just Kodansha's typical digital-only titles that you see across pretty much every manga reading app, but there's mm-hmm. quite a few platform-specific series available on Manga Plaza as well, or platform-exclusive series, I should say. And before we get started, just a reminder, you can find this podcast on all the major podcasting platforms, namely Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, although I think those first two kind of aren't... Apple Podcasts might still be around. I think Google Podcasts is closing up shop. Podcasts are ever-changing. You can also find this on my YouTube channel, at SimplyG, on YouTube. So if you're wanting to follow us there, you can. If you're wanting to leave us a review or a rating, we appreciate that. But yeah, let's start talking about Manga Plaza, right?
Let's start talking about Manga Plaza. So when you go to this website, you will be inundated with, much like if you go to like Renta, porn.
So
specifically, specifically a lot of Harlequin Jose manga, with some truly scandalizing titles, a lot of like really raunchy BL, but that is not the focus of the stuff that we picked out to read, because there are a lot of other types of titles here as well. Again, like a lot of that Kodansha stuff that's on pretty much every platform, and also some like really surprising gets. So specifically, I was surprised to see, because I had no idea this had been licensed by anybody, which is why it's fun to like sort of do a spotlight on these more niche online apps, because like they don't really necessarily market their titles that well or that diligently, so you end up finding some like really interesting stuff. It's a pretty high profile Yuri series that was all over the place when I was in Japan, because it had a new volume out or whatever, called The Evening and the Sea. And I just like had no idea that that had been translated into English, had been licensed in any capacity. I was like, wow, that's like a big Yuri series. So to go into, I guess we should go into just like the format of this app, first of all, which I, you know, we'll go out on a limb and say neither of us are fans of, but it is kind of the norm for these apps at this point in especially, Japan as well.
Yeah, I was gonna say, especially Japanese apps or ones that are backed by Japanese companies. This is very much the case.
Then that business model is the microtransaction business model. Which our last like app spotlight we did was on Mangamo, which like we praised so much for having still a subscription model, only for it to betray us.
Like almost immediately, like within a week.
We're switching to a microtransaction model. It's like, no, we just recommended you so highly. But this one, there won't be any betrayal because they've betrayed us from the beginning. This is a microtransaction model site. They do have a premium subscription that opens up more chapters, but it's still, like, I'd say the majority of the series, at least the platform-specific ones that we were looking at. Mm-hmm. The premium subscription will only unlock, like, 3, 5, maybe 10 chapters if you're lucky. Then you're going to have to switch to microtransactions for chapters after that.
There are some that you can read all of it, including The Evening in the Sea, yep. Which we've mentioned, but they are few and far between. So you better, if you're enjoying something, you better be willing to choke up 99 cents per chapter.
Per chapter.
USD, per chapter, USD. which, you know, it's not very fun.
When I was going into this app, I was kind of, or for our spotlight, I was kind of made the personal decision that I would pay for. Well, there is like, there's a, I forget how long the free trial was.
It's 1 week. I can tell you that because I signed up for it and then read nothing in that week because I was so busy. And then had the like the $7 or whatever charged to my car. I was like, damn it! Why?
Yeah, so I also just like went and bought a month of it after the trial because I was also very busy. Well, I was busy being in the hospital. If you guys are wondering why this ended up late, I'm fine now, but it's been a month. It's been exciting. Riveting. So my reading was also pretty spread out. So I ended up buying a month. And that was like my budget for this episode. I was like, I'm not gonna buy any more chapters. Like, I'm gonna only go off of platform specific titles. We limited ourselves to those because I think that's the most interesting stuff. Like, of course they have the Kodansha stuff. Everyone has the Kodansha stuff. That's not interesting.
You're not gonna be like, oh, this is a really great series or a really great platform because they have bloody like fairy tale on it. It's like everyone has that shit.
So we just looked at the platform specific titles. And then for me specifically, I was like, I'm going to see what I can read with a month of the premium subscription. So any series that only had like 3 chapters or whatever, that's all I read. The exceptions being 2 series on the platform that I had been reading in Japanese prior to this spotlight, which I'm more close to caught up on those just because I read them on a different platform in Japanese. And does that go for you as well, G?
Yeah, so similarly, after being burned, I was like, no, I'm not spending any more money on this. and also because I'm not going to say that there's no interesting titles on this platform, but I will be upfront and say that because I was busy, I didn't read as much as I'd like to. And there was plenty of titles that I read and read quite a large chunk of through this like premium available chapters, but I'm not like willing to pay more to read the rest. There were 2 series that I read the entirety of through this one, which I think is technically not a platform exclusive one, but is sort of because it's from one of those weird like digital only niche publishers that just kind of like pops up on Amazon every so often. And then one which is yeah, the Yuri, as previously mentioned. So there are, like, of what I read, there are things that I'm like, I'd be interested in reading more of that, but the vast majority, I'm like, eh, I'm not gonna pay like $1.50 Australian per chapter to continue this, because it's fine, but like, I don't need it in my life.
Not at that price point, you know?
Not at that price point. And I also just, like, I do think that there's, Manga Plaza does do these kind of timed events as well. I don't know where, if we've mentioned it quite yet, but where they change the amount of chapters that are available for you to read with their premium subscription, which might also play a part in, like, how people are reading things and saving money.
They also, they do timed events where they'll release a certain amount of chapters for, like, a month or whatever for free. So I guess as promo events for their service, which I think, like, that is how I came to know about this app, and it's how I read the first 15 chapters of the series that led me to want to talk about this app. And, like, if you're going to engage with this app, like, full honesty, I think that's the way to do it. Like,
yeah,
if there's a particular series that you're interested in, wait for some of those chapters to be free for one of these timed events, and then read it at that point.
I also think maybe, like, if you're one of the girlies or guys, you know, we don't make any judgments here, who is, like, really into that Harlequin romance, smutty, like, oh, I've got a bad husband, and so I'm cheating on him with the handsome.
Oh my god, there is so much NTR on this website. So much. And so much divorce manga.
So much, like, I'm cheating on my husband and my husband's cheating on me manga. If that's your thing, and, like, there's, I'm not going to say there's none of that on other platforms, but it does make up a big chunk of this. And I feel like, having not been reading any of that for this spotlight, I feel like a lot of those chapters are probably more available in larger quantities as well, for premium users, or
if you're here to get your rocks off, you know, consider a premium subscription.
So, you know, that's also, I think, a big part of their market, and the same for BL. They do have a sizable chunk of BL, but with titles like you know, just caressing the nipples of my hibernating bear, which feels like, I feel like I need to be on some kind of list for not even, like, it, I just, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that's, like, just very schlocky, very, very...
Right now, they have a special offer on their Incubus collection.
Oh, hell yeah. So, you know, this isn't necessarily a platform that you're going to be reading a bunch of stuff at grandma's house. maybe. I don't know. Maybe your grandma's cool. But, you know, it's... There is a wide variety, and but there is a very, very specific audience that I think this platform caters to, outside of their, like, interesting kind of handful of titles that have a more broad appeal that you're like, hey, hey, this is cool, maybe check this out,
or really niche appeal, but it's like a non-pornographic niche that it's appealing to. There actually are quite a few, like, really interesting weird ones on here. A lot of them I didn't quite get to, and I know G didn't as well. It's an interesting list to sift through, but it is, like, 95%, like, I divorced my husband who was cheating on me so that I could date a married man. Kind of stuff. It is a lot of, like, Jose that is about, like, married women or divorced women with children who are, like, in their 30s, in their 40s. A lot of the Jose that we get in English we think of as being about, like, women in their 20s or maybe, like, really early 30s at the oldest. But the this is a lot more, like, housewife type of stuff. So, like, you know, if you maybe fall within that demographic or if you're interested in stories that are about women in that age range, you know, there might be something for you here. And I do think that that's interesting that there's like this random app that's covering that niche. But yeah, and a couple of the ones I did read, I read one specifically that was about, and I can't talk about it much because it was one of the ones that had like only three chapters available, but it was like about, like a woman in her mid to late 30s who'd just gotten a divorce and she's sort of struggling to navigate the discrimination that she faces in her workplace being a divorced woman. Because a lot of people in Japan will be like, you know, well, he only cheated on you once. Like, why would you make such a big deal of it? Like, just forgive him and move on. So that one was quite interesting. So it's not like, I don't want to like, you know, suggest that like all of these titles that aren't necessarily for me are like, you know, bad or anything if they're for you. Certainly a lot of them are serving a specific function, which is fine. But some of them aren't. They're just, they happen to be like Jose manga that are romance manga about women in their like late 30s, in their 40s, who are divorced, who are looking for love, a second chance at love. So there's definitely some like non-pornographic titles here that fall into that niche if that's something that is interesting to you. And you're willing to deal with this stupid,
microtransactions,
awful payment model.
I also want to say this doesn't really have much to do with Manga Plaza specifically, maybe, but my first... well, not my first exposure to this platform, but probably my most memorable exposure to this platform prior to us having to read a bunch of stuff for this podcast is seeing the cover on Twitter of one of their new series that was being, you know, released there, called This Man Is the Biggest Mistake of My Life, which obviously is like, it's what's on the package there, right? But I remember posting the cover because, or retweeting it or whatever, because it's this, the guy on the cover is like kissing the girl's foot in a high heel and the foot is so anatomically incorrect. It
oh my god,
so weird. I was like, oh my god, what is this? It's like the artist was trying to draw a hand, but then, like, you know what would be sexier if he was kissing her foot? But then, like, didn't change the shape of the foot to not look like a hand? It's very strange.
Amazing. Amazing.
That was my strongest impression.
Sometimes, G, you have the artistic ambition to draw a foot fetish manga, but you don't have the artistic talent to draw a foot fetish manga.
I'm gonna put the cover in the chat so you can see Ray, because I truly cannot explain how much this looks like it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be
the correct way that it is.
It shouldn't be the way that it is at all. It's certainly something.
I'm waiting with bated breath. Oh, there it is. Oh. That's also a very, it's very small.
Yes, it's an extremely small foot, and
Each toe is going in a different direction, and they appear to be tentacles. Maybe. It's kind of like a cuttlefish energy that I'm getting from this
think she
foot.
has toenails. I'm just very. There's a lot of questions happening in this in I don't know.
His hand is also very small.
He doesn't have fingernails either, which
Yeah,
is
which is
also
weird because she has toenails.
she has color implying toenails. I don't know if she has toenails, but
She has like a gradient on her tentacle toes. Well, lovely.
So,
It's beautiful.
yes, fantastic.
We'll talk about a vampire series in a bit that has, I think in the first couple chapters, a better drawn foot fetish moment that's interesting.
Absolutely. Much better. Much better.
Makes me feel some kind of way. But first, I think, because I know that both of us read it, and it's also one of the highest profile series that I saw on there, and we've already mentioned it. And also, this is one of the titles that you can read all of with a premium subscription, so much more reasonable to just drop $7 and be able to read a whole series. Up to wherever it's at right now, I don't know. A few volumes. But this is the Yuri series, The Evening and the Sea. We also were just talking about terrible art, but this series is quite beautiful. It's a well-drawn Yuri. What do you think of this one?
I did like it a lot. It's interesting in how I don't know. There's something very well balanced about it, if that's maybe the right word.
Yeah, this is to give just a overview of what it's about. It's a high school Yuri series, so it's not super plot focused. We've got one of the main girls is very aloof. She is, I believe, half Japanese. And she has lived in a lot of different places, which I related to, because I'm, a military brat, former military brat. But so she's like moved around a lot, and she has kind of she's in a place where she really doesn't want to form connections with people because she's feels like there's no point because she's just gonna move away again. People describe her as a doll, both because, she's very beautiful, because she's half Japanese, and because she's so aloof and doesn't like getting close to people. Isn't very good at putting her thoughts into words either. And then the other girl is much spunkier. She's very energetic. But she's also pretty terrible at putting her thoughts into words. And even within her own head, she's very like both of these girls are very in a place where they don't know what they really want or how to go about getting it. The second girl, I think her name's Yano, she is obsessed with swimming, but she doesn't want to swim competitively. She wants to swim alone. Leisurely in the pool, which she's able to do because she's the only member of the swimming club right now. But she is, going to be going on to college. So her teachers are like, "Well, do you want to swim or do you not want to swim?" And she's like, "Well, I don't want to swim the way you want me to swim." So I don't know what to do. And, you know, obviously her, like, swimming, basically, like, very leisurely kind of coasting through the water is, like, a metaphor for where she's at in her life. It's a very metaphor-heavy series, but it's not yes. as, like, it's not quite as on the nose about it as something like Cocoon and Twined, but it is very, like, there's, like, you know, the girl who loves swimming gets drawn as a fish a lot. And, like, that's very surreal when that happens. There's a lot of visual references to Utena, so it's that kind of vibe. Though not as, like, again, it's not as out there as something like Utena or Cocoon Entwined, but it is veering towards that direction of, like, weirder, more surreal, sort of metaphorical explorations of adolescence and coming of age and puberty and that kind of thing. It's a very atmospheric, there's a lot of ennui. There's a lot of characters not even really attempting to talk about how they feel with each other in a way that I feel like it is true to being sort of a loner high school kid who wants to be close to someone but doesn't want to be close to someone. I like this quite a bit. I think it's worth a read. It's also very lovely art-wise.
So. Yes, yeah. The art is very beautiful. And it's one that, like, I can see if I can understand or could see people arguing, like, it's not a very, like, because there's a lot of ennui and not a lot of communication happening and not necessarily a lot of, I would say the relationship does have very strong development over the series, but it's not like, you know, these two aren't making out by the end of it. So I could see people, like, having an issue with that if that's what you're wanting from your Yuri, but I don't think anyone could ever complain about the artwork. It is just gorgeous. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of a Class S vibe where it's like the girls themselves don't know what their relationship is, so the series also doesn't really try to quantify it. There's definitely a lot of pressure from outside forces to be like, ew, why are you guys, like, always together and, like, like that? But the girls themselves are very resistant to their own attraction to each other. And, like, not really knowing why they're so drawn to each other. And the series so far doesn't seem interested in answers to those questions, but more interested in the questioning itself. So it's not going to be, like, the most, like, you know, LGBTQ focused Yuri series, but there's another series that I'm going to talk about in a bit that is very much an LGBTQ series, so that's fine, you know. especially because this one is available in its entirety with the subscription, I think that it's definitely worth a read, and I can wholeheartedly recommend it. I mean, you can go and grab your free trial and read it over that week, you know?
And it's only 19 chapters or, like, three volumes. Yeah, super quick to read. Well, I mean, it's not a huge commitment. You can get it done in an afternoon.
And I guess I will, I know you didn't read this one, but because this one is available in its entirety, with the subscription as well, I'll just talk about it kind of quick. It's a series that I also had heard of, while I was in Japan. This is in a similar vein to something like, I Want to Be Your Girl, where the main character is sort of a trans woman, and it's about Sort of a trans woman. Well, I guess that's applicable here because this character sort of figuring themselves out. It's a coming out type of narrative. But this one's called Colorless Girl. I think that it is up to date on the way that it describes sort of like gender dysphoria and a lot of the more like, say, insidious transphobia that you see, particularly in like Japanese society. I like how it talks about, like, because it's got a big fashion focus. The main characters are in design school. Well, they're in an art school, specifically in the College of Design. So I like how it talks about, like, you know, like, trans people, their bodies just being, like, you know, just as individual as someone else's body. Like, it's not like this is a cis woman's body and this is a trans woman's body. Every body is unique. And, like, if you're a woman and that's your body, then that's a woman's body kind of thing. I think that the use of language there is very much more up to date than you'd see in some other series. But I don't actually think that the LGBTQ parts of the series were the most compelling part of it. The thing that I think makes it worth reading is the art school aspects. It really goes into the specific, like, trials and tribulations and anxieties of a group of students in art school. You know, one of them's dealing with the crushing disappointment of having been a former gifted kid who was like, "Mom, Dad, I want to go to art school." The main character is dealing with, like, being in the last semester of their program and having no idea what they want to do after they graduate from their program, which is crushingly relatable to me as a someone who has an art degree that I didn't end up using. Again, the art here is really pretty. There's a lot of cute fashion and, like, textile stuff. I think it's worth a read, again, particularly because the entire series is available just with the base premium subscription. So,
That was one that I was wanting to get to, but just never got around to. Another one that was on my list relates because it's also about being transgender or the trans experience, and that's the pain of living in a male body. And that one's a full color comic. I think that one's also complete, I don't think you can read this one. You can read it through the platform, but not through the premium service. You do have to pay for that one. If, when given the opportunity to read the first chapter, and I do like it, it is one that I would probably pay money to finish. Again, it's not that long, at 9 chapters or something. There's a couple series about obviously LGBT stories, but specifically, like, the trans experience, which is kind of nice when, again, 90% of everything else on here is, like, cheating NTR manga. It's like, oh, okay. You just mixed it up a little bit.
And there's still one more that I'm going to talk about in a little bit that features LGBTQ themes, and I love it. But I think we should talk about another one that both of us read. You read some of Rose Burton, right?
Yes, I did. I read the 21 chapters that I could read out of the whatever it is, the 30. Yeah.
I read about 10. So this is called Rose Burton, The Dressmaker That Launched a Thousand Dreams. I think that this author really likes Kaoru Mori based on the art style. The art's fine, but they're no Kaoru Mori.
This mangaka really wants to be published in Harta magazine or whatever it's called nowadays. I, as someone who is a Harta connoisseur, I don't think it's to the level of like a Harta series. It's not like the series isn't bad, but it also like I'm not gonna buy chapters to read the rest of it. It's fine. It's, which is a shame because it's an interesting setup, and it's, I mean, we've talked about not only our own love of the French Revolution and pre-revolutionary France, but Japan's love of the revolution and pre-revolutionary France. And like, considering the characters, or at least the main character and a couple supporting characters, are like real life historical people, there's a lot of potential here. Like, this could have been, I mean, I'm not saying it's not interesting, but I'm also like, the execution on this was fine. Like,
it's fine. It's it's pretty kid gloves.
Yes.
I would say it's also very like, its treatment of Rose Burton is very like boilerplate girl boss narrative.
Yeah.
But I do like, you know, the historical details that get included. Like, clearly this creator did a lot of research and wants to point that out. You know, the dresses are pretty well drawn. I don't regret reading it. I had a decently good time, but it's, yeah. It's, you know, it's just not up to the level of the series that it is taking inspiration from, pretty obviously.
Yeah. As said, like, I'm with you, Ray, in that, like, I don't begrudge my past self for reading this. It's not, like, a waste of time. But this is like a 6 out of 10 manga, and you, like, you read it once, and, you know, if you could get it from the library for no money, and you could read the whole thing, and again, like, it's an interesting time period, it's not bad, but it's also, like, I wouldn't say go out of your way to, like, hunt this down, and you have to read it, and it's, like, the best thing ever. Burton herself is, as you said, like, very, very, paint by numbers, girl bossing her way to, to the French court.
To Marie Antoinette's side.
Yeah.
I also hate the hairdresser. I know he's a real guy. I hate how they characterize him. He's really annoying.
Yeah. I was just like, I know what you're going for, but, like, okay. Alrighty. And it's a shame, because I feel like there's a lot of potential for their, like, friendship, kind of quasi-relationship, kind of quasi-like partnership as the dressmaker and the hairdresser to,
and, like,
one of the most famous monarchs of all time.
Also, like, one of the early rival characters is, like, Madame Du Barry. Like,
yeah.
Make her more interesting.
Make her so much more interesting. But, man, does she have cake.
She's got boobies.
And butt. and but. I don't know if you got to far enough along in the series, but man, we get an entire ass shot, and it is a very voluptuous rear.
Well, you know, another sign that this person is a Kaorimori enjoyer.
Exactly. I was going to say, it is very much a Mori attempt. I'm not going to say it was a successful attempt, but when I saw that, I was like, damn, girl. I mean, truly let them eat cake. What is this?
You know what? Something must have gotten her. The king.
You don't become number one mistress of the most powerful person in the country by having a flat ass, I gotta say.
Especially not in that era.
No, absolutely not. But yeah, like, this is, you know... art style isn't terrible, but it's not like it's no Mori. It's story is very paint by numbers. It's interesting insofar as it's an interesting premise, and you know, but it's fine. It's fine. Which it's is all right. A shame because I wanted to like this more because yeah. One, Revolutionary France. Pre-revolutionary France. Two, fashion manga of a historical fashion manga. This is G bread and butter.
Also the cover is really pretty.
It is. This should have been the easiest win. Honestly, this should have been the easiest win, but man, it just wasn't quite there. And that's, again, not Manga Plaza's fault, but, like, it's one of their titles. It is one of their exclusive titles. It is certainly one that, like, if you're desperate to read something, if you have the subscription for, you know, your...
If they do a timed free event for mm-hmm. it, why not?
Why not? But, you know, it's don't go out of your way to pay bloody $27 to catch up on it.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. All right. Moving on. Did you want to talk about one of the ones that just you read?
So one that just I read. I only read... I think 5 or 7 chapters of this. This is a series called Shall I Untie That For You? Which sounds like it's one of the Harlequin romances. It isn't. This is more in line with something like Phantom Tales of the Night, which people who know my channel know that I'm like very, I love that series. This is also like not what the art in Phantom Tales of the Night is gorgeous. This is not gorgeous. It's it's fine. Like the art's fine. It's nice, but it's not as eerie. It's not as beautiful. It's not as extravagant. This is a manga about a mysterious cafe where people go when they're having an issue in their life, or like it pops up in front of them when they're having an issue in their life, and whilst they're there they are served tea or cake or something, you know, cafe food that helps them mm-hmm. Sever a tie, like sever a relationship in their life, sometimes with other people, sometimes like an internal connection to themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's not as supernaturally as, I mean, I don't think this cafe owner is not a supernatural being, and he has a cute kind of childlike, well, child additional character waitress. I don't know what she does. She's just like, oh, you should try this, and everyone's like, oh, is that the owner's sister? And I'm like, okay, well, Isn't that strange to see, like, a 14-year-old in a cafe? I don't think so. But yeah, it's a mysterious cafe that helps people with their personal relationships, run by a very handsome man in a suit and glasses, who just is, you know, just that has that mysterious aura about him, and his cute little sister character who's always meddling, and then yeah, it's not quite Phantom Tales of the Night is there is a larger overarching structure, but with at the beginning of that series it's very episodic, and each chapter is like a new visitor to the inn, whereas this one it's actually two chapters, so you don't get the conclusion in that chapter, which is a pain if you're having to pay for chapters. So, you know, it's similarly to Rose Burton trying to be Kaoru Mori's Emma, or you know, a bride story or something. This very much feels like this mangaka is trying to be Phantom Tales of the Night, or even like Bartender, which kind of has a similar thing where, you know, you end up in a bar and the bartender serves you a drink and it's just exactly perfect to your situation. It helps you come to this big revelation about yourself and your life and your relationships.
Yeah, but there's a lot of series that are in this
genre. But it's not quite there. Like, it's, again, it's fine. It's all right. If this was on the timed event where I could read more chapters for free with my premium subscription, I would do that. But, like, I'm fine having read the 5 or 7 chapters that I did. And I'm like, okay, well, I would argue you need a better title, but it's good, it's fine. And I think, again, it's pretty paint by numbers insofar as, like, none of these relationships or, like, problems that are being solved, personal problems that are being solved, are, like, new and or interesting. It's like, oh yeah, this couple is in a bad relationship, even though they've been together for so long, maybe they need to break up, or like, oh, this person is stressed out at work and is like always complaining about her coworkers, but maybe she needs to do some internal searching and realize, like, hey, maybe she's the one causing a lot of that stress in her life. you know, it's not the most unique variation of issues.
Not so, reinventing the wheel.
No, and not even necessarily making the wheel that interesting. but that's fine. It is what it is.
All right. I'll just mention really quickly, because I don't have that much to say about this one, but it was good. The Rainbow That Follows the Storm is definitely, like, was originally a webcomic. Like, it's got the webtoon vertical layout. But this one is about a woman who, she's like 35, she's engaged to be married, when her mother is diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and it's just going through sort of the struggles of you know, being the daughter of a mother with Alzheimer's, having to work remotely so that she can take care of her mother, and just a lot of the pain that goes along with that diagnosis. And I thought that it, from the few chapters that I read, was interesting and pretty well done dramatically. So I'd be curious to read more. It's not one that I'm, like, dying to read more of, but it's one that I, you know, again, like, if I didn't have to pay a dollar per chapter, I might read more. So that we can go back to being a bit more positive, if it's all right, I'd like to talk about the title that is the reason that I suggested this app for a spotlight episode, which is a series that I don't know if I'm, I think I'm not quite completely caught up in Japanese, but I've read like five or six volumes. But this series is called, A Queen and an Old Maid. And it's called, Yawao to Katako in Japanese. This series, is one that was recommended by Colleen, from Colleen's Manga Rex on their channel at some point. And at the time that they recommended it, they were doing a timed event for it, where like 15 chapters were available for free. So I went and read those, really loved them. So I ended up buying more of the series in Japanese. I use, actually a Japanese web app that partially uses the microtransaction model. They sell single chapters, but also e-volumes. So I usually stick to buying volumes, but, including for this series, but yeah, I really love this series. it's a Jose series, about a woman who is, like the word is like arasa. So a woman who's around 30, but she's like, she's never been kissed. She's never had a boyfriend. She is like, she has a lot of self-loathing. She's definitely the kind of person who like goes to lurk in like incel forums, just to wallow in how much she hates herself. And she does call herself, she calls herself Mojo in Japanese, which is translated into English as femcel, which I think is an appropriate translation of that word. It's appropriately, like, kind of cringy and gets across the corners of the internet that she might be spending more time on than is good for her. She is very competent at work. She feels like she's in a good place in her job, but she just like hates herself so much. She thinks she's so ugly because she's like, she's pretty tall for a Japanese woman, taller than is considered quote unquote, you know, conventionally attractive in Japan. She's got, you know, more androgynous features. And she's like, she's pretty, I guess, blunt. She's a pretty blunt person. So, you know, the kind of person who, like, might in Japan be considered kind of mannish, right? So, and those are the reasons that she hates herself and thinks she's not worth anything. And she's never, like, she's completely unlovable. No one's ever going to love her. And she's got this, like, really conventionally attractive friend who's like her best friend, who works at the same place as her, that she like, you know, loves to pieces, but also like kind of secretly hates because she's super jealous of her. So that's where she is at the start. This really cute friend of hers invites her to go to a mixer where she meets some cute guys, one of whom is this guy named Koyanagi, who's like really attractive, really well put together, kind of nondescript, even though he's like super attractive, businessman. She ends up having a really awkward encounter at the mixer because she does that like really uncomfortable like self-deprecation thing where it's like she's trying to be funny, but it's like, yeah, like she's trying to be funny by just like insulting herself basically. And obviously that doesn't go over well because it's not it's not a cute or funny or likable thing to do.
Yeah.
It's just really awkward for everybody involved. And then she ends up like crying in the bathroom, and her friend is like, come on, like, you know, you had a bad night, but like you're so pretty and you're so like wonderful. And I think that one guy, like, he likes you, you know, kind of thing. But it's all just making her feel even worse because she's like, why did you invite an ugly gorilla like me to a mixer when you're so cute?
Sorry, that's like, oh man. But ugly gorilla is a certain choice of words.
I think it's the word that she uses. But she's like, I'm so, like, big and huge in all the wrong ways. And I'm just,
She's obviously not met, like, a dude who's just super into that because there are a lot of them. They just want to be crushed by a giant woman. You know? Okay.
Except she's, like, not giant. She's, like, in America, she'd be very conventionally pretty. She's just tall.
Which is part of being conventionally pretty is tall. So like
not in Japan, but anyway, and like tall, right? She's like 5'8". you know, it's like the love com thing, like she's also like, oh my god, I'm a giant, no one could ever love me, and she's like 5'8". But like, you know, someone like this who's just like wallowing in their own self-hatred because they're just slightly less left of conventionally attractive, you know. Maybe we all have our moments where we're kind of in this headspace. For her, though, it's perpetual. She's like, she is like, life stopped in its tracks. She hates herself so much, kind of thing. She is in need of a fairy godmother. She, on her way home, ends up, running into Koyanagi from the mixer. This, like, nondescript but very attractive, businessman. And he sees that she's super upset, and he's like, you know what? You want to, like, get a bite to eat? So they go to get a bite to eat. They're, like, talking and stuff. He ends up sort of putting his hand on her face. And she's like, oh, my God, am I going to get kissed for the first time in my life? How could anyone possibly want to kiss me? What? And then she, like, gets all in her head, and she's like, no! And he's like, oh, my God, girl, did you think I was going to kiss you? Ew! Ugh, your lips are so chapped. I was gonna give you chapstick. I've never seen more chapped lips than you have right now. Gross. And he's like using what is called One Kotoba, which is like a dialect, a very like intentionally hyper effeminate dialect used by some gay men in Japan. Mm-hmm. So like in English, that corresponds to a lot of like drag queen talk. he's like, honey, you need work. he's basically what ends up happening is he offers to help her kind of get her act together a little bit. Because, you know, he's really into fashion and stuff like that. And she ends up agreeing. So they start this sort of like coaching kind of relationship. It's kind of like a high school debut kind of vibes, where he's sort of helping her figure out what clothes like actually look good on her body. And trying to teach her a bit more riz, I guess. You know, so
she's getting the queer eye makeover, except for
it's she's getting eye. The queer eye makeover. but after a few chapters, what you find out is that she just like assumed because he's so effeminate that he must be gay. But he's actually bisexual.
Oh my god.
And of course, they end up falling in love, and eventually they end up dating. And she gets less insufferable as time goes on. It's a genuinely really hilarious series. I laugh out loud like once a chapter at least. It is so nice to have a love interest who is openly and proudly bisexual, mm-hmm. who talks about his attraction to both men and women, who has both men and women in his past, who is like openly like involved in like the culture and like is very effeminate. There are other series like Androgynous Boyfriend or like Mizutama Honey Boy is one that I've read, where it's like you'll have like this sort of male character. And I know that in Androgynous Boyfriend, that guy's a real guy. He's based off the author's boyfriend. But you'll have like a character who like is quite effeminate, maybe cross dresses or wears like some kind of like very androgynous fashion, but like the series seems almost like just completely bent on every step of the way reminding you that don't worry, this guy's actually straight. And it's infuriating, and it's nice to have a series that has like an actual like queer guy who also happens to be effeminate, but also like, you know, is a well-developed, well-rounded character who like changes over time and has his own ish going on. It's just nice. It's weirdly rare. The main character as well, like her struggles at the beginning, even though obviously her way of expressing them is very exaggerated, she ends up being a very likable, easy to root for character as well. She's like very devoted to her work, which I always enjoy seeing in adult characters, and I just really enjoy this series, so I recommend it. Unfortunately, it is one of the ones where it's like 5 chapters or something that you can read with the premium subscription. So it's one that I would recommend like waiting for a timed event for, but it's definitely worth the read. Yeah. I love it more and more with each passing volume.
I want to check it out now, 'cause yeah, it sounds good. It sounds good. There's quite a few. Yeah, I mean, I wish I'd had more time to read more stuff on here, because I do feel like it's unfair that a lot of the stuff that I've been reading was kind of middle of the road. But
That's all right.
that's all right. Being middle of the road is all right. It's passable. Something that wasn't middle of the road that I enjoyed. I didn't read all of it. It is complete and it's not super duper long, but I did like what I read. And I think you read this one as well, right? Act Out.
Yeah, I read that one.
Yeah, I liked this one quite a bit, but I didn't catch up because I also didn't have the time and I didn't want to spend the money. But I just have a soft spot for male figure skating, I guess. I'm just such a sucker. Just such a sucker for it. It has nice art though as well, and I think the
Nice art.
character, I mean, if you're missing Yuri on Ice, then this isn't gonna completely replace that, but it certainly has a similar dynamic. If you want a Japanese skater and a Russian
There
working together, then
go. That's also pretty gay, gay, homosexual gay.
yeah, pretty gay homosexual gay, but like not as no, they're not getting engaged at the end of the series like Yuri on
No.
Ice, but
It's like subtextual or whatever.
But yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting a figure skating, I guess technically sports manga. It's more of like a, it's more about the relationship between those two and then the psychological aspect of
The
becoming a
drama.
better performer. Yeah, the drama of it all. But it is beautiful. It kind of reminds me of like a Swan in that way, where it's more about finding that passion and becoming the best performer. And I guess it makes sense because our Russian in this series is a former ballet dancer, ballerino. But yeah, it's if you and oh, if you're into size difference, then damn.
This is like textbook, like semi character
Yeah.
design.
I mentioned it because I did like it a lot, but I didn't read a whole bunch of it. It's only 12 chapters long. I read a volume's worth, so four chapters. So yeah, it was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked the main character, but 'cause he's very closed off, like clearly a lot of he's like the character at the beginning of the series is all coping mechanism basically. Everyone's like, "Why are you like this?" And he just like smiles placidly. And it's like, oh boy, when we find out about this kid's
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot.
backstory,
And even in like the first four chapters, you're like, oh man, there is something not good happening in his life. So it's interesting. Yeah, it which I think is part of that, like the psychological aspect of the drama part. But it is very good. The art's nice. I do think that for a short series, like I think it's smart, having not finished it, but I do think it's smart that it's a short series. I don't know how you could stretch this out to be super duper long. Short and sweet, that's all we need. And it would be good if we had boys kissing, but I don't think, well, I mean, figure skating literally has a spot called the kiss and cry. I feel like we need more kissing and crying in the kiss and cry for some of these series. Just being
Truly.
honest, truly.
Yuri on Ice understood this.
Yes,
It
they were kissing and
understood the
crying outside of the
assignment.
kiss and cry. We didn't even get to see the kissing and crying in the kiss and cry.
Nobody has ever understood the assignment like Yuri on Ice.
When will my beloved come back from the war?
All right. Speaking of characters who you just meet and know immediately when you find out their backstory, it's gonna be a lot. I want to talk about the sexy vampire series.
Absolutely. This is the sort of the last one that I read, so I think this is a good one to end on. It's very much in line.
Raycore?
Yeah, it's very Raycore. It's very podcast core. And I think it is one that is definitely worth reading if you're, you know, if you're going to, if you don't mind microtransactions and if you don't mind this whole subscription service with extra steps.
Or if you just want to wait for a timed event.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one is one that, as can perhaps be expected of me, I am caught up with in Japanese. I have been for quite a long time now. And I had, much like The Evening and the Sea, I had no idea that this had been licensed. I think I've mentioned it to G once or twice before, and it's just like one of the ones that I've bullied her with because it's not available in English, but it turns out it is available in English.
damn you bad marketing. Why?
So I was very, very excited about this. This is called I Need to Suck Blood Tonight. In Japanese, it's called Yabu ni Kyuke Shitsure Shimasu. I love this series. It's like, it presses all of my buttons. So it's, you know. I didn't expect to love it as much as I ended up loving it, but it's another one that grows closer and closer to my heart with each passing volume. And at this point, it's like one of my favorite series that I'm like reading ongoing. I would say it grows on you over time. The first handful of chapters is kind of a lot of setup, especially of the main relationship. This one's like pseudo BL. It doesn't run in a BL magazine. And I'm pretty sure that the two main characters are probably not going to end up like together. Yeah. But they're pretty together. So this series is about a guy named Sayo, who is like upper management, like branch management, in the company he works in. He's in his 40s. He is like a very fine looking osan. This is definitely a mangaka who is not afraid to be self-indulgent, which we at this podcast appreciate. He is, all of his underlings adore him because he is so thoughtful and kind, and but also competent, and handsome. He's a very handsome, mature, older man. He wears a mask wherever he goes because, he unfortunately, ended up getting bit by a vampire fairly recently when the series starts. A female vampire that he was with, bit him, turned him into a vampire. Mm-hmm. He being such a kind-hearted soul, cannot bear to drink the blood of a human being, so he's been hanging out in back alleys, attacking stray cats and then apologizing afterwards. And he is just constantly starving. Very gentle soul. And he has one particularly competent underling, who I think is in his late 20s-ish. He's like 27
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, yeah. He's not like, they're not the same age.
It's an age gap. which I'm fine with if they're both adults. there's also, like, as we'll get into, there's a bit of a... there's some power play happening here. So he has a particularly competent underling named Yamadera, who is in his 20s. Very handsome, also very popular with the female co-workers. Again, both for how handsome he is and how kind and thoughtful and competent he is at the workplace. and he ends up spotting Sayo in a back alley, seemingly hugging a stray cat. Obviously, he's actually drinking its blood. And he's like, I saw that. I didn't know you love cats.
I didn't know you were such a cat lover, sir.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Big, big, suspiciously large grin. he ends up sort of pressuring Sayo into going to a mixer to meet some girls. and this is bad because Sayo is currently starving, and he's also very handsome, so these girls are like on his ass.
like,
hello.
Hello, handsome 43-year-old.
And he's just like visibly drooling. there's some grotesque aspects to the vampirism here. But so he ends up like running out of there. And when Yamadera catches up to him, he is sobbing. So he's like, I really thought I was going to like murder one of those girls. You know, plays it off as like, you know, I cry when I talk to a cute girl. Yamadera's like, wow, cringe.
Didn't realize you were saying cringe, sir.
And that is embarrassing for you. they're like on the train platform to head home. Yamadera like passes out, you know, they're both like drunk or whatever. And Sayo's like, you know, this guy's been nothing but horrible to me tonight. He pressured me into going to this mixer when I did not want to. And now he's been insulting me and calling me cringe. if it's this guy, maybe I wouldn't feel guilty about drinking his blood.
I feel no bad about this whatsoever. This actually is probably for the greater good, honestly.
This man sucks. and let me tell you, he has no idea.
Yeah, holy shit.
So, Sayo, very carefully, you know, rolls for stealth. and bites Yamadera's neck and fails his stealth check because Yamadera was faking being asleep. Yeah. And he's like, well, I got you.
I got you now, bitch. I knew you were a vampire this whole time. And you're like, oh good gravy.
He was like, I thought I'd get you with those girls, but, you know, I guess it's all right if I offer myself as a sacrifice too. now turn me into a vampire. And at this point, like, Yamadera is not putting up an act anymore. He is fully being his full and true self, which is pretty, pretty far on the Yandere spectrum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He is a monster. terrible fucking person. So we've got Sayo, who is an absolute angel in a monster's body, and Yamadera, who is totally and completely human, but monstrous inside. Yamadera really wants to be a vampire. Sayo really wants to stop being a vampire. They end up having a bit of a common goal, which is this woman who turned Sayo into a vampire probably has maybe the answers to both of their dilemmas. And thus our buddy cop scenario is fully drawn. So I think there's like 8 chapters of this that are available. There's like 40 out. So
I think there's 30 something on the app itself, like on Manga Plaza.
Yeah.
Because like not all of these series are
30
like
something.
Completely up to date with the Japanese release either. Oh no. Yeah. Manga Plaza, I've just checked. It's only 16. We are behind.
Behind? Yeah, there's like 30. There's about 40 at this point.
Oh my god. Why, Manga Plaza? Why? What have I ever done to you? Except for complain about you constantly in this.
Yeah. So I was not sure how you would feel about this series, even though I recommended it to you so hard. So I'm curious to hear what you thought of the first few chapters.
I like it. I mean, it is very Raycore, which I was expecting. I also, like, I actually really vibe with the extreme, like, yandere character kind of dynamic that they've got going here. Like, the sweet cinnamon bun, and then just, like, the worst guy ever.
Yeah. Well, it's like, because you know, if there's anyone in the entire world who can fix this bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Man, this is the most toxic, like, I can fix him. Because truly this man does not want to be fixed. In fact, he wants to be worse.
Not at all. He would like to be way worse.
The worst ever. And I'm just like, oh my god.
He makes me, now that we're further in the series, he does make me cry on a regular basis. And
I feel like I could get that vibe. See, that's the thing, is that you know that these, the just in fiction, ladies and gentlemen and others listening, when you have just like, when you have an extremely toxic character, like 7 out of 10 times, they're going to have some horrible backstory that like redeems them in your eyes, and you're going to feel not so bad about liking them. The other 30% of the time, they're just like the worst and they get no redemption and they die in a fire.
Or they try to redeem them and it just does not work. So as an Astarian fucker.
The dynamic in this isn't quite the same of like between the relationship, but the guy in this, the human character, our yandere, really reminds me of the dude from Yakuza Fiance, and I fuck with that.
Yeah,
so much.
Yes, he's
so
got the vibe.
Hell yeah.
And the way he talks in Japanese is like, it's so like fuckboy in your company. Like,
yeah.
He's very like sosne. It's infuriating. I love him so much.
See, this is the kind of person, like, if he was a real guy, no girl, every red flag, do not don't engage.
He is barreling through every red flag proudly.
Every red flag. He owns the red flag manufacturing company. And yeah, it's just, you don't want to be there. But in fiction, this is like, honestly, damn.
Yeah, and also, like, the power dynamic is fun, much like it is in Yakuza Fiancé, because it's like, you've got, obviously, Sayo is much older than Yamadera and boss, but more than that, he has phenomenal godlike power, yet Yamadera has him on the shortest fucking leash.
Yes. Because, yeah, exactly, because Arvamp, he's just like the sweetest guy.
The sweetest, gentlest boy.
The sweetest, gentlest middle-aged man, and like, how can you not love
and
him?
And branch manager.
He's just the best. How could you not fall
he's
in love
so
with
sweet.
Him?
He's so sweet. And later on, they go to his parents' house, and his parents are so sweet. And Yamadera has obviously never known the love of a mother. And I cry.
Man. See, that's the shit that gets me, right? Because, like, Yakuza Fiancé, the female, like, the main character in that, the girl... She's also, like, she's much more sane than the guy, but she's also, like, pretty unhinged. They're very well matched. She's sane in the ways that he's, like, unhinged, and she's unhinged in the ways that turn him on. So, like...
Yeah.
So it works well.
They're made for each other.
But this one, like, it is truly, like... The worst person you know with the best person you know, and somehow they make it work. They make it work.
Yeah. And then towards the end of the chapters you can access with the subscription, did you meet the little girl?
Yeah.
She's the
additional vampire.
The first additional vampire. Yeah, so she's, you know, the, like, you know, little schoolgirl who's actually 300 years old or whatever. Yeah. But I actually adore her. She's really funny. She also has Sayo on a very short leash. And she's another one where it's like, you know... She has been alone for so long, and Sayo is here to fix her. And it's so sweet. Their friendship is adorable. Despite how much fan service there is between Sayo and Yamadera, and oh my god, there's a lot. As alluded to earlier, in like the second chapter or some shit, there is a foot scene that is pretty good.
Pretty good. It's pretty good. Man, like, I'm not into feet, but I now understand how people are into feet. Right.
I'm not into, like, degradation, but somehow when it's these two. you'll be happy to know that there's, like, not even a little bit of fan service related to the little girl character who's 300 years old.
Yeah.
Which I feel like...
Should be a low bar, but isn't.
But within manga and anime in particular, I feel like little girl who is 300 years old is not a character type you often see represented without horrifying sexualization. So
yeah.
No, I think she's a great character. She also like has her whole arc and makes me cry and laugh. She's only one of what you can presume to be many vampire characters, and they're all very colorful. This series, as it goes on, actually gives me Blood Blockade Battlefront vibes. In that it's very, like, it's not as, like, battle-oriented, but it's, like, each of the vampires has their own, like, special set of moves and, like, their niche. They're all super, like, big personalities clashing with each other, and, like, the series, like, seems like it's, like, pure schlocky genre fiction, and it is, and it relishes being that, but it's got this big beating heart at the center that, like, keeps it going and, like, makes it feel really special and makes you really attached to it as you go on. And that's what reminds me of, like, Blood Blockade Battlefront. Also, there's something about the art style, not necessarily at the beginning of the series, but later in the series, there's something about the way this author draws faces is a little Night Owl-ish to me. The vampire lore here is also very fun. I think the sort of big bad, this girl who turned him into a vampire, she is a very Night Owl kind of character. She's really interesting. She's got a lot in common with Yamadera. They're like foils for each other. I didn't expect to love this series as much as I do when I first started it, but
yeah,
I deeply love this series. And it's really, like, it's funny and, like, sexy. It's very self-aware about its fan service, especially the, like, old man fan service. He does end up wearing a butler outfit, in case you were wondering. With Megane.
Best life.
So, you know, in case you were worried about that not being a feature, it is. So, I am really happy that I get to introduce this series on this podcast because, like I said, I had no idea it was licensed. So, happy day.
Now all I need, because this is one that I would pay the, like, $10 to read more of, but Manga Plaza, you need more chapters. Why are we so behind? I mean, also, I'm like, don't, you know, pay your people, and I understand that this stuff takes time, but like, I want the 20 chapters we don't have yet.
Yeah. I will say, like, translations overall for all of the series that I read were quite good. There wasn't any indication of any, like, AI translation at any point.
Or lettering, anything like that. It's a high quality production insofar as, like, I feel like they definitely paid people to do all of this, is good. And not always the case for some of these platforms or some of the print books we get either. So, pay people.
That needs to be said. Because I feel like, you know, sometimes I'll read something on, like, Renta or something, and it's, like, indecipherable. So it's, like, I feel like going into an app like this, you might, like, kind of have some preconceived notion that maybe the translations aren't going to be super up to snuff, but these were totally fine and in many cases really good. So in my opinion.
and for what we read, I mean, who knows what all the Harlequin romance is.
Yeah, doing. Who knows? But for the stuff that we read, the series that we have talked about, on this podcast, at the very least, high quality translations, you know, totally fine lettering, no issues.
And I think that segues well into our singular question from Stories on Shelves of what are some features that makes this platform stand out from others? Is that they certainly have done that, but I also wanted to mention that they do have a pretty robust tagging system on Manga Plaza. So everything's tagged by genre. It also you can, and one of their tags is like only on Manga Plaza. So if you are just wanting stuff that's exclusive to their platform, you can click on that.
Mm-hmm.
The search function from there isn't very good. You can't drill down to like a specific like comedy series on Manga Plaza. You have to sift through the 400, you know, let me caress my boss is caressing my breasts every night, titles,
I do want to point out that, there is a very easy to find, right at the top, of the main page, there is a toggle button for 18 plus content.
Yes.
So that is also something that is good, especially since, again, the vast majority of their titles are 18 plus. If you're trying to find like something more like the titles that we've talked about here, it can feel like looking for a needle in a haystack. But you can toggle off the porn if that's not what you're on the website for.
Indeed. Plus, also, and this is something that Futakia has as well, but this if you click onto a series, it does tell you whether it's completed or not, which if you're wanting to like not read something and then get halfway through and then who knows when chapters will be updated, if you're just wanting to stick to stuff you know will have an ending, especially if you're paying money for the extra chapters, then they do make that pretty clear as well. I find that, and it's not the points/subscription plus like the sometimes chapters are free, sometimes they're not free, sometimes we've got point giveaways. I don't really understand the points, like I don't know what's going on with this. They've got a lot of different things happening.
Yeah, but let me tell you, that is a very Japanese thing to have.
Oh, absolutely.
Is a point system that nobody understands.
No doubt about that. I do also want to mention, and again, this isn't necessarily unique to Manga Plaza, but some of these more niche platforms, it is, and this makes sense because of the amount of smut and bodice refers it has, but it is a web-only platform. There is no app for this, so you're not going to be reading it on your mobile devices unless you have like, your Chrome browser up.
Well, actually, I read my titles entirely on mobile, which is also how I engage with Shimoa, which is the primary app that I use for reading things in Japanese.
Maybe
I found that their mobile UI, they don't have a mobile app, but the mobile website is quite user-friendly. And it actually, like, the process of reading through it is, like, almost the UI that they use for it, like, navigating between chapters, navigating from page to page is, like, almost identical to Shimoa. So,
yeah.
it's pretty standard for Japanese manga apps in general. But I didn't have any trouble just exclusively reading the titles on my phone. It's just that, unfortunately, it doesn't have an app, but if you don't mind just using a mobile website to read your manga, I didn't find it difficult to use at all.
So. Yeah. No, I agree with that because I read mine on my tablet with Chrome, but it isn't like you're not going to go to the Play Store or Apple Store or whatever and download an app in the same way that you do with the Viz app or Shonen Jump. Azuki, I think, maybe has an app as well. There's certain platforms that do have apps. There's certain ones that don't. It just really depends on, you know, well, how much money they have and also whether it makes sense for them to have an app. But I do agree that this is very in line with what a lot of these web readers are like. It functions very well. It brings up the option to go to the next chapter very easily once you hit the end. This is just a testament to me, like, being an old person and also not reading a lot of stuff on apps, that I do tend to prefer the the swipe versus the scrolling when you're reading. But that's just a me thing. And I don't know if there was an option to change that. Maybe I'm just terrible at technology, but I was just like, okay, scroll, let's go. Scroll.
That is one difference from Shimoa, because that one does do swipe. I don't mind scrolling, though, especially since, like, they have a lot of webtoons on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is one thing. It's all scroll, it's not swipe.
Which is like it's not a major complaint, because you're still able to read it. I just feel like, because I'm an old person who reads a lot of physical manga, I'm like, I like the idea of turning a page.
Yeah, it also means that, like, two-page spreads don't really...
Yeah, don't work at all.
Don't work, which is a shame. That's definitely, like, the swiping is much better, because then you can turn your phone. But yeah, so, I mean, at the end of the day, do we recommend this app? I can't, because, like, it's got the microtransaction model. Mm. Like, there's a handful of series that maybe are available with the subscription, that I would say, you know, if you want to, go for it, read it, like The Evening in the Sea. Obviously, there's series like A Queen and an Old Maid and I Need to Suck Your Blood Tonight that I do highly recommend, but, like, only if they have, like, a timed event or the like. Like, ultimately, to me, I can only feel as happy as I am that they are translated well and available in English legally. It makes me sad that, like, I can't in good faith recommend them to people because of the microtransaction model.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same. There's series on here that I would recommend, but I don't think that this is a platform that for most people would be something like to add to their circuit of, or their library of apps that they may be using to read manga and webtoons and whatever. Why did I say webtoons like that? Webtoons. Because there's not enough content here for outside of, like, very specific titles, very specific genres, and very specific markets it's playing to, which is not inherently a bad thing, but, like, it's not one that I can see a lot of people needing to have. If there is a particular title that interests you, it's worth, like, doing the weekly or 1 week free subscription to check them out, and maybe time it with an event where some of the chapters or most of the chapters are free or whatever with the subscription. But it's not one that I can see people coming back to like every week or every couple weeks to read new chapters or to catch up on titles, unless there's something you just really love. But I don't know that there is for a lot of people. Yeah, it's a shame to say, like, we recommend titles, but not the platform itself. But I think that's just the case. If some of these titles were also available on, like, Azuki or Mangamo or, you know, whatever else, then it wouldn't be worth it. For me, at least.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think with any of these platforms, because there's a lot of them, and they all do have their exclusive titles. Some of the exclusive titles are definitely worth reading. They're worth checking out if they sound like your thing. If you don't have an issue with the subscription model kind of microtransaction thing, then hey, you know, be free and happy and spend your money the way that you want to. But for a lot of people who already complain about free or subscription tiered platforms like Shonen Jump, which is ostensibly free except for like the most recent three chapters that you pay all of $3 a month for, and you get access to everything. For a community that bitches and moans about having to do that, I don't think that this one will fly, aside for, you know, certain communities who are willing to pay for the trash that they enjoy. So, you know.
Yep. And I do... I like... the idea of like spotlighting some of these lesser known apps specifically because, you know, it is fun to sort of find the diamonds in the rough. Mm. I really like finding those hidden gems. I like being able to tell all of you listeners, like, hey, this is a really good series, and you might not know that it's available in English.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is the conclusion on this one, is that, like, we recommend a small handful of titles. I want everybody to read A Queen and an Old Maid, and I Need to Suck Your Blood Tonight. We really just can't recommend the app overall. And it's like, if either of those titles, which I consider to be extremely good titles, that in particular, like A Queen and an Old Maid has broad appeal, it's like, you know, if Kodansha or something put it out, like, it, I think it would do well. But like, as... if they were on any other app, like, I would just recommend to read it on that app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's weird because, like, this month, March of 2024, is their second anniversary? I feel like I didn't... I know that time is an illusion, and in this... post, not quite post COVID world, everything bleeds together. But yeah, I don't know. I guess that costs must be very, very low for, and I'm sure licensing some of these titles were very cheap, but something must be working for them to still be around 2 years later. But man, I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's our thoughts on Manga Plaza. Thank you for listening. I don't know if people are necessarily surprised by our conclusions, but it is always good
hopefully to hopefully you learned about some new titles that you hadn't heard of before.
Yeah, and give you some insight into what is available, because there are some surprises every now and then, as noted in this episode. Next month, which is very, very soon, tomorrow, in fact, next month we are doing another series spotlight. We are going to be talking about a title that both of us love. I'm up to date with, at least with the English release. I don't know that Ray is necessarily, but it's one that we've loved for years. It's getting an anime very soon. We will be doing a spotlight on the much beloved Witch Hat Atelier.
Hey.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm gonna talk about this series. I'm also probably gonna add a little bit of to with Witch Hat Kitchen, because that's just like the perfect spin-off series. So yes, be sure to send in your questions regarding Witch Hat Atelier for next month. As always, you can find me on social media, Twitter at GGW_reads. You can also find and follow Ray at Whimsical Picks, PIX, on their same hell site. You can find this podcast as well as my other various videos that I sometimes make on YouTube, on my channel, Simply G. That's two words. Ray does have a channel. It exists under Whimsical Pictures.
It's long dead, long dead.
It's but it's there, and it has a good backlog, so be sure to check it out. You can also find this podcast on all of the major podcasting platforms, of course, Spotify, but also Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts, and maybe some others. I feel like there might be some others, but all the ones that matter. And if you did enjoy this episode, or if you've enjoyed our episodes in the past, please do leave us a rating, a review. We much appreciate them. If you're watching this on YouTube, please leave a comment below, because we do read them, we do love them, we like hearing from you guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you in the next episode. Bye till then.
Bye.